back to the weekly roast mortem.
Oh.
How's it going, guys?
You corrected you.
You nearly did. Be careful. Tread lightly on those dinky little trotters of yours.
Should have never doubted
they're
you.
They're no longer trotters. They're beginning to resemble a darling little geisha back in 17th century Shenzhen.
Wow.
So.
Lovely.
Because of the weight loss.
Stop talking about my feet.
Well done on the weight loss.
Thank you, man.
How are you doing?
Yeah, really good. Really
you look
good.
Amazing.
Thank you so much. I'm, yeah, enjoying it. Yeah.
I feel like your posture has improved.
Really?
It was really bad.
you were telling everyone about it.
Did you see the picture we were had doing the rounds in Marconi? Somebody did a doodling. They called him the lunchback of Notre Dame. No, genuinely, you look absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much.
The hair, everything.
Yeah, no, I'm feeling really good. Just excited to keep going. And so many people who listen have been reaching out. They're just so supportive, so, so nice. I'm blown away by the support.
What is the hardest aspect of it thus far?
I think just showing up on the days that you don't want to, like, you know.
Okay, so, guys, welcome back with Rob Lipsis.
No!
Go on.
No, I think it's just...
Just about showing up.
No, but, like, even trying to do something on the bad days where it's raining or you don't feel good or you're stressed. Like, honestly, what I'm finding is, and, you know, you've talked a lot about meditation, but, like, a 10 or 15 minute walk will literally change how I feel about an entire day. Yeah. Just like resetting. Yeah, it's great.
It's that thing of like, I don't know if this is an ADHD thing, but for me, it's like if my mind is like on a track, right? I can wake up and I can just be on a one fucking track, be it like a negative thing around whether it's, yeah, my personal appearance, whether it's a work related issue, whether it's a family related thing, whatever interpersonal thing, anything, right? Yeah. Anything can just have me. Rather than trying to stay on that track and solve the problem via rumination, which invariably takes nothing but my time, do you know what I mean? And it doesn't fix anything. I'm just, you know.
You're just there.
The brain has taught you into the problem. Why would that same brain think you out of it? But it's fucking addictive in itself. Overthinking, by the way, is an addiction, I think. Or certainly a compulsion that just like, oh no, just keep replaying this, replaying it. Maybe there will something, an answer will present itself the more I go over it in my head and that will relieve me of the burden of it. When actually the answer is get off the track entirely. Forget, just literally don't try and, I'm not articulating this well enough, but if I have an issue, right, I seem to go in my head, right, well, I just need to think about it enough till I get to a point of being okay with it and then I can move on from it. When actually the answer is just fucking move on from it. As you say, put your coat on, go for a walk for 50 minutes, change the environment, reset your thinking, give your brain something else to be doing.
Totally. And I think I was probably using food for that to do the exact same thing, but I just had like a negative outreach rather than the positive one in the past.
Okay.
So rather than going for like sitting in the car and having a drive through or just walking to the shop and like eating sweets, whatever it may be, just going for a walk and like literally having an apple or like having a glass of water has just reset everything. Yeah, feel really good.
Because that like instinct is hard to change.
It's just impulse.
The impulse to want to act out.
Yeah.
And acting out can be on a made, like, you know, when people hear about addiction or binging or any sort of acting out, they imagine it's like flipping over a table or ordering a kilo of heroin, when actually it's the minor things. It's the sort of sitting in traffic going, fuck it, I am going to have that burger now for lunch.
Yeah.
And then in your head, like I was telling you about 2 weeks ago, and, like, did I say this in the last podcast? I could have done, but like, you know, where...
They got over to your mum's.
Yeah, like mum's and there's like one idea and then instantly I've set fire to the day.
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, if you can buy yourself a pause, and I think I've heard lots of people who are like, you know, legitimately familiar with meditation and can talk about it in ways that are vastly more intelligent than I can, because I'm very much a newbie to that world. But like, if you can, the whole idea of meditation originally I thought was to quieten the mind and like just to not think, where actually the that's not true. It's to observe your thinking. It's to sit and watch your own thoughts. Because then as a result of, the better you get at watching your own thoughts and noticing how you're thinking, you can sort of see where the problems are. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then if you're very good at, you know, the more consistent you get with your practice, you can then notice a thought and you don't need to act on it, which is like, we were talking about this last week with the cigarettes. It's like mood doesn't need to equal behavior.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You can have a feeling, for instance, like I was in the Olympia last night watching Dijon, okay? And I looked out at the audience. I was like, oh my fucking God, this venue is fucking massive. And like all of my, as you know, like lifelong fucking anxiety and all the rest, and particularly when it came to live performance, it's why I didn't do it for so long. And I had such a fucked up relationship with the stage and myself and all the rest. But my instinct in that quick second was to go, okay, well, cool. We're going to have to think of some reason why we can't do the show next week. This is definitely not, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Whereas actually I was able to just pause and go, yep. I felt a bit of nerves there. That's okay. I'm looking forward to the show. It's going to be great. It's a big venue. It's amazing that I can sell out big venues. That's the buying yourself a pause to go, that's the thought and let's do something with it, rather than just letting it dictate. You know, like I was walking out with Darren on the weekend, right? And I caught sight of myself in a mirror and I was like, fucking thank God, that's one of those mirrors that makes you look fat, because it's just, you know, one of those weird mirrors.
We're in a carnival all of a sudden.
And then you realise, nope, that's a normal mirror. You're just big, bro. You just hit the absolute fucking dog on it from last August. Do you know what I mean? But that could ruin my day.
Totally.
And that mood could then go into the way that I speak to my wife, the way that I speak to the person who I order the coffee, then their interaction would affect, their response would affect me, and then my whole, the ripple effect would just, you know what I mean?
Yeah, completely. Completely.
So the big question I think though is with something like this, and this obviously isn't about mass now at all. Well, it is about mass, but a different type of mass. You said we were doing an episode on mass. So I was like, okay, Mick, take the shirt off. Let's go. But the big problem, I think, with sort of modern addiction and self-improvement. Okay, let's use self-improvement as a better example, because I feel like, yeah, you know, addiction is, of course, part of it. But what we're talking about with what you're doing and with what both of us do in general with regards to sobriety, say cigarettes, weight loss, meditation, mental health, all the rest, we're talking about self-improvement. Broad strokes, my concern is, probably not the appropriate use of broad strokes, but how do people stay stopped? Like, it's all well and good, and I'm not trying to be cynical, but like, you know, last year, for instance, I started intermittent fasting. I did it from January. I did 11 weeks of like no sugar, no fucking whatever. And I lost loads of weight and I was feeling great about myself. And then I started eating sugar again.
Sure.
And then, of course, the weight came back on.
Yeah.
And then, of course, I didn't feel good about myself. And then, of course, I found it harder to meditate because I wasn't comfortable sitting. And then, of course, you know, slowly but surely.
So the cycle continues.
And then you're back at square one. And I'm like, how is it? How can you? It's we're comfortable in extremes, right? You're comfortable in doing extreme things you're doing now.
Very much.
As am I. What do you think is, like, not to put you on the spot, but what are your plans for, like, after the wedding?
Yeah, I
have you thought about that?
Oh, totally. Because I, twice in my life before, have lost 40 kilos. Like, I've lost substantial amounts of weight.
Yeah.
And unfortunately have put it back on. From my experience, like previously, both with success and failures in the space, I feel like I've come to terms with the fact I am somebody who operates in extremes. Okay. And it's not that I'm going to go through high levels of fluctuation for the rest of my life. That's not my plan. But it's to kind of understand that, like, when I'm living good, that I put a system in place. Like, for me now, and I've only realized it, but like, how I wasn't hitting 10,000 steps a day previously is just crazy to me. Like, there would have been days I would have had 2,000 or 3,000 steps just by being out and like being active every day. The days that I have bad, or the bad eating days, will be offset by just being a more active, more happy, more fulfilled person. I also think as well, when people talk about like fat loss, everyone go, you know, talks about diet, and obviously like eating right is everything. But if you're just active, you have less of a reason to eat bad. I think everything goes hand in hand.
Yeah, it does.
When you live better, you eat better. When you feel better, you know, you don't indulge as much.
So, like, the more I meditate, the more likely I am to go for an hour long walk with Bertie, because the more comfortable I am to spend an hour long by myself with my thoughts.
Exactly.
And then as a result of that tranquility, or that like settling, the more likely I am to meditate the following day. And then because of the meditation, the more likely I am to pause before I eat lunch and go, well, what am I going to eat?
Yeah.
I don't want my first meal to be stupid. And then if, say, something really stressful comes up, because that's the I think certainly with, say, drinking, right? And similarly with cigarettes, like, it's very easy on Monday morning after an absolute fucking howler of a weekend, burning through all of your money and relationships and whatever else, to go, right, that's it. I'll never look at a fucking drink again, yeah. Okay? And you feel like you've got your tail between your legs and you're coming into work and your bank balance is like null and you're just like, the self-loathing shame is so high. But it's whenever Thursday rolls around that you're starting to feel good or something good happens in your life, right? And you're like, well, now I need to figure out how to feel that without treating that feeling, because that's how I used to feel things. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And similarly, that's a positive example. Say the Thursday rolls around, it's been 4 days and you get an email saying, by the way, Mark, you're going to get that promotion, all is well with the world and you're going to be 15 grand up a year or whatever. Mm. And you go, oh, fuck, okay. Now I need to feel like my instinct then would immediately kick in and go, oh, things weren't that bad. And like, look at me now. And how quickly your mind can derail into negativity. It can do the same in positivity. It can be a sort of like a fantasy where I'm like, oh, well, like if I'm making more money, then of course I'll be able to drink and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And similarly, then if you get a negative stuff, like if you get a, how do you respond to life? Once your wedding's over.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, great. We've had this fabulous experience. Now we're married. But then it's like, oh, fuck. We've just gotten, I don't know. So if something negative happens, it's about then being able to respond to life without just, I guess, falling back on old behaviours.
Completely. And I think that's probably where my head is at. I will always be a person who pursues... I will always be a person who pursues things. And what I, like, that's so ambiguous, but...
No, I get you. It will you either achievements, be, but like, yeah.
Yeah, but it'll either, like, for years it was alcohol, you know, for years it was whatever it was. Food has been the thing that, like, I would be able to work a 12-hour day if I could spend 30 quid on a Chinese at the end of the day. Whereas now I feel like I'm okay with the fact that I have to be pursuing something.
Mm.
But if pursuing something is going for a walk with my wife or, like, sitting down after having a productive day and watching TV for an hour, I'm okay with that.
Mm.
But I think it's about understanding how I operate as a person.
Which, not to bring it all back to the alcoholism stuff, but like, say, similarly when we're talking about quitting smoking, like, it's not that there's a fucking cure or an answer for quitting smoking that's easy. I don't believe there is. I think it's just about a decision of going, I'm going to accept sitting in that unease. Like, as you said, the reward system, I mean, that's my entire life.
Everything.
And to this day, somewhat it is. Like, I can be watching a movie and be going, oh, I'm not really enjoying this. And then I'll remember that I've got a fucking UPS delivery the next day and I will go, I'm happy now.
Yeah.
Because I've realised there's a present. Do you know what I mean? And it could literally be Woolite. Like, I ordered a bottle of Woolite, which is for washing fucking woolly jumpers.
Yeah.
And I was, that got me going the other night watching fucking Marty Supreme. Sitting in Blanche Cinema. And I was like, oh, maybe I'm depressed. And then 2 minutes later, I was like, you've got a delivery coming tomorrow. Unbelievable. Let's go. Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And that's just like the constant carrot and stick. If you can use it to your advantage, great. But also, I think if you can just develop, I'm never going to remove that entirely. No. Like, that's, for me, living with either addiction or ADHD or whatever you want to fucking call about it, binge tendencies, you know, we can label these things as much as we want. But like, that's what I was trying to say, Logic. This, I don't think it's about overcoming anything or beating anything. We are the way that we are, and it's unlikely we can rewire a life. I'm 35. Like, it's very difficult for me to all of a sudden rewire a literal lifetime of behaviours. But if I can learn to live with those behaviours, notice those behaviours, and not act on those thoughts or feelings or emotions every single time they come up, that is winning. That is the quote unquote overcoming. If I get a really stressful phone call and they say, by the way, you are going to get paid 17 grand for this and you've just been dropped. Why? Well, they found your old tweets. Well, I don't have Twitter. No, I'm joking. But you know what I mean? If I get that phone call and I sit there and go, fuck's sake, that's such a pain in the arse. I'm in the car as well, so I feel trapped. I can't get out. Mm. My head will go, fuck, will I just get a packet of 20 cigarettes and have them all at once?
Yeah.
But by not doing that, or at least by noticing, yeah, that's just an old reaction to things. That's an old reaction to being uncomfortable or not being happy, seeing it and not acting it. Like, that is the winning. Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree. I spent so long trying to, like, beat that, you know, oh, I don't need this, or I don't, like, I'm just going to live as I saw, like a normal person. I'm not a normal person, but I'm kind of okay with that now. And I even find, like, I can replace those behaviors. So even in terms of, like, buying something, this sounds crazy, but, like, last week I dedicated a day in my mind to going and buying a new pack of socks.
Yeah, love. Sorry. Do you want to hear my sock theory?
Go on.
I can't believe we haven't discussed this.
No.
I'm the sock fucking bandit, bitch. I'm the sock king. I am Socky Balboa. I am Socky Olympics. Do you know what I mean? I'm Socky Socky $5. The sock is cooking. Right.
Yeah.
This January, I spent about whatever. I spent a decent amount of money buying lovely socks all on sale from Mr. Porter. And it's my new tradition. I did the same thing last January.
It's phenomenal.
Every year, wait for the fucking sales in January and just replace all of your socks.
Yeah.
It is genuinely, man, transformed.
It's a pleasure.
I wake up in the morning and I'm like, these socks are so I feel like I might need to change my boxers. These socks are so comfortable. If you know what I'm saying. Walking around on good socks. It's like, I read somewhere, it's like, invest in anything that separates you from the floor.
Yeah.
So like shoes, bed, socks, pillow, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Invest in things that separate couch. Invest in things that separate you from the floor. And I've just gotten rid of all my old fucking shots. Because also, I'm like 35, I'm a man. Why am I still wearing sports socks in the day to day? You know, the sportiest thing I've done in the last year is develop athlete's foot. So like, you know... new socks. I now wake up and I'm looking forward to it. Another ludicrous thing.
Yeah.
I've started in the last 4 months, started shaving using an old school safety razor.
Love it.
Changed my life.
Yeah.
Man, I now, what's the Merker is the German company I use. I'm not a sponsor post, not an ad.
Yeah.
And every time I shower, I do the routine now. I shave properly and it only adds, like, I would say it's the same amount of time as it takes to shave with a fucking ratty old Mac 3 or whatever.
Of course.
And Matt, like it is genuinely these tiny little things that I actually look forward to.
Yeah.
Rather than going, okay, I'm just going to really shower. I'm going to hate the shower. I'll just hurtle through life, right? To then get myself a reward of, well, when I go to the coffee shop, I can get myself fucking two pastries, one of those donut bastards, the hybrid yolks that are like half pastry, half donut, half donut. May as well have be a fucking fleshlight as well. Do you know what I mean? Just 3-in-1, 17,000 calories. Do what you want with it.
Yeah.
It's filled with delicious goo, but you'll feel like fucking Satan afterwards. Sitting in your car, burst like you're just Genghis Khan. You know, Timujin, who's just given birth to 90,000 people at once. Timujin.
Timujin.
That was his name.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Interesting guy. Very interesting guy, old Genghis.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
One in eight of us, I think, are his ancestors.
Yeah, yeah. Is that seems to be the only fact that people ever know. You mention Genghis Khan and they go, yeah, yeah, one in eight. Yeah, cool. Anything else? Nah, it's actually Chinggis. That's his name. So it's like American documentaries. The distance is like 46 football pitches. I don't need every unit of measurement. Don't need to be always done in football pitches, you Neanderthals. Anyway, I had a wank in one of my socks this morning.
And we're back.
Okay, Michael, the impromptu discussion around addiction. This is probably, by the way, I'd say there's one person. So I got an unbelievable response to the smoking episode last week. And obviously, to lay our cards on the table, myself and Michael have been planning some stuff behind the scenes for quite some time in this world around our relationships with both substances and ourselves and food and vaping and everything and escapism and in one word, binging. Do you know what I mean? And we are very, very careful around it because, as you all know, there's such fucking charlatans and spoofers out there. And by the way, we are absolutely spoofers. Do you know what I mean? That's the bottom line. Like, neither of us are educated formally. The only education we've had is our experience. Yeah. So there's no question of us ever doing anything that is like, we have the answers or this will solve your woes or charging you to fucking hear us peddle spoof. Anyway, in January this year, we sat down and we said, right, this is the year that we're actually going to do it and launch the idea. So that's in the planning stages. Obviously, we did the smoking episode last week and there was just an enormous response. And we already have nearly 1,000 people now interested in joining our smoking.
It's incredible.
community, which is, or not smoking community. That's, by the way, that's how you know ChatGPT is useless. Because I was like, what do I use? WhatsApp, Discord, like Facebook groups, Instagram. So I put into ChatGPT, I was like, I've got nearly 1,000 people who want to join my no smoking community. What's the best way? Where should I house them? Like, is it in real life events or is WhatsApp the best way? Blah, blah, blah. But I accidentally wrote smoking community.
Right.
And ChatGPT was like, excellent idea. Here's why it works. Smoking as a habit is really fun. It builds bonds. Like, okay, cool. I can't take you anything that you say seriously. Complete fucking waste of time.
But if you were a lesser person,
yeah,
you would have just posted straight away.
Wouldn't even have read it. So, anyway, that's all in progress. But I did get one message from somebody saying, oh, not this shit. Just stick to the funny podcasts. Cool. So, good stuff.
Yeah, like, no.
Yeah.
I won't do that.
Yeah, there are other, we will do both. Yes. Michael, what would your advice be at the moment to somebody who is, I would say this, trying to maybe lose weight, right?
Mm.
But is going, I don't have the time mostly the time to devote myself to this thing full time because I've got fucking kids that need to be fed, so it's going to be a nightmare trying to do dieting for them, or I can't go to the gym, I don't have time to be blah blah blah, like, but they want to start but they don't know where to start.
Sure. For weight loss specifically, it's obviously multifaceted. There's a mix of exercise and food. Realistically, like, calorie deficit is the only way in whatever.
Is it? Is that?
It is the only way.
Do you? What's the difference between calorie deficit and ketosis, by the way?
So ketosis is where your body gets to a state where it stops using carbohydrates as an energy source and starts using fat. I think ketosis is something that...
Is it a myth, like?
No, it's not a myth, but like, okay, it's something that people love talking about on social media. But like, the reality is, calorie deficits are what will allow you to...
So that's the only way that you lose weight is if by expelling more calories than you take in.
Because ketosis will still only happen in a calorie deficit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you might achieve ketosis, but you will be in a calorie deficit if you're doing that. Okay. Calorie deficit is the only way. So... The reality is, if weight loss is your, and I, as a starting point, figure out what your actual goal is, because I know one or two people who, they feel like they want to lose weight. They don't have weight to lose. They just want to, like, be a little more toned or a little more muscular. So they just need to exercise more and maybe eat more protein. So get really honest about what it is you want to achieve. And I would say, start with one single thing. Mm. There's a guy, Oisin Mulligan, who I've spoken to quite a bit, amazing guy in the space. And last year we had a conversation and we were kind of mapping out different things I could do. And he was like, just start with one thing.
Mm.
If you start with one thing and you do it for a month and make it the simplest thing possible.
Yeah, yeah.
It will become such a part of your routine that and you then, won't by feel the same without it.
And then your brain is saying, I can do things.
Yeah.
Like for me, when I started January of last year, when I started properly getting treated for ADHD, where I actually started taking medication, the greatest thing for me was like, in the first week, I set myself, I had to do something tax related, which I'm like a horrendous financial admin. So before I had to get loads of things over to my accountant.
Sure.
But I just set myself a task and I did it.
Yeah.
And the fact that I did it was like, holy shit. I said I would do something and I did it. Now I can do more.
Hmm.
And gradually over those next few months, it was like, oh no, I can do that as well. And I can do that. Oh, we can do two shows a week.
Yeah.
Oh, I can plan live. All of a sudden then, by doing things and showing up and executing on them, however small, it has such an accumulative and knock-on effect.
It all compounds. And I think when you start to prove to yourself that you're actually capable of what you're doing, because I don't know about you, but like, I am the greatest person in the world to tell myself why I can't do things or why things won't work out before I've even, given them an honest try. So the simplest thing that you can achieve, it might even just be like cooking one meal a day or like even cooking one meal a week.
Mm.
Do that for a month. You'll start to enjoy cooking. You'll start to realize you're better at it than you realize, or you'll get recipes online. It'll become part of something that you enjoy.
Well, then this next question, I suppose, is a little bit more complex because I'm assuming there's no one answer to it. And it's also something that would take time. But like in terms of emotional eating, because I think like largely, if you'll allow the pun, largely speaking, like that, for me, you say, with my weird relationship with food and weight and everything, is like, it stems from an emotional eating rather than just like, oh, that's weird, I've just packed on a bit of extra weight. You know what I mean? It never happens accidentally.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, I can look at the year and go, yeah, I know why I was binging then. Like, totally. And I know why, and I can track exactly why, because it's in line with my emotions. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
And like, on a short-term basis, how do you say to somebody who's, yeah, at home going, well, like, yeah, look, I'm fucking struggling to make ends meet. I've got a kid that I need to support. I'm a single parent family. My fucking treat for the day is when I come home and I just have like an oven lasagna and then I eat fucking ice cream. And yeah, it's like, I don't know how to get out of that routine. Like, as in that for me, particularly people with drinking, like so many people would message me and they're saying, you know, oh, I have my shit together. Most, like somewhat, we raise our kids. Nobody's been affected. We go to work, we pay our bills. But like the habit of in the evening, just that two bottles of wine, I can't get out of.
Mm.
And like, for me, that's like, I certainly don't have the answer to that when it comes to alcohol, because yeah, it's like that feeling needs to be treated rather than the wine, you know, would be my thing. But I don't know what your thoughts are in terms of food, like, especially for people in that environment who are like, look, my only fucking highlight of the day is nipping out to the bakery at lunchtime and getting one of those pano shaka,
yeah,
kaka things.
Had to go with the kaka. I think food has almost the exact same properties as alcohol or a substance that you can abuse in terms of, it is really sad that you feel that that's the case. And I think you should be compassionate to yourself to realize you're living a difficult life and that's your vice. But the harsh, truth is, in the same way for me, it was pints, you know, in the same way for, it's lots of different things for lots of different people. It is a short-term solution to a long-term problem.
Mm.
And an oven lasagna or a bag of jellies might feel great on a Thursday evening when you've, you know, you're, the week is kind of getting in on top of you and you're at your wit's end, but it is not taking you any closer to the person you want to be. And I think that's something that I had to come to terms with last year, because ever since I've stopped drinking and stopped smoking, food for me has become the last great battle. The last great
final frontier.
Final frontier, 100%.
Yeah.
And like, I have no problem admitting this, I have sat in bed in the last year or two at 8 o'clock, literally like crying and fighting panic attacks, because I'm just like, I want to eat right now. I've had in my head a tough day and all I want to do is go on to a food delivery app and just like literally buy away my pain. And it's
I think that's interesting, the whole the delivery app, because that's also like, it's the fucking process of it that's addictive as well. It's that escapism.
Completely.
The escapism starts from the moment that you look at the, you know.
Half the time I can't even decide what I want. Yeah, there's so many options.
But you're in it though.
Exactly. But that's, you know, it. It's like, you've spoken before about the idea of going for the pint is actually nearly,
oh, walking to the pub is better than the pub, or waiting for the fucking dealer to arrive. That's the best you'll feel.
The opportunity.
When you get the message, say, I'll be there in 5 minutes, that's the most electric you'll feel for the night.
Unbelievable. And you know, then, like, you'll find yourself just sitting over trays of food and you're like, okay, I feel absolutely terrible now. I feel like I'm going to get sick. So I think...
And by the way, there's no judgment here of things in moderation. So, like, fucking takeaway, pints, all this stuff is all brilliant. Like, there's zero judgment.
Totally.
Like, if I could be a normal drinker, I'd have 50 pints right now. Do you know what I mean? If I could drink normally, I'd wait for a few at breakfast, like, to celebrate.
You're like Denzel and flying. Yeah. I'm drunk right now.
That's a fucking heartbreaking scene. Don't be having to go with Denzel.
He should have ate.
So, should have had a...
No, but back to the emotional eating. I think, be honest about what are you trying to cover up with that short-term solution?
Mm.
Because if you can tap into that, you can come up with other ways. Yes.
Treat the cause rather than the symptom.
We all have, you know, we have busy jobs, we have busy lives. I don't have kids yet. But, you know, I understand there are lots of factors in life which make doing doing the right thing challenging.
Mm.
But the right thing is still the right thing. Mm. You can't get away from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, excellent.
Yeah.
I think that sort of...
solved it.
That's it. We fixed it. We have cured it. What's your current...
I think the last thing I would say about food is, it's a particularly difficult one, particularly when it comes to emotional eating, because I can make the decision, or I can manage never ever having drink having a drink again. Food is something I consume every day, so it's kind of a more ambiguous, harder to manage, but different to manage, because it's part of sustaining life.
And it's also, there's the so many fucking complex layers of like deception in terms of like, oh, well, I'm in the office and all of a sudden they're passing around pizza. Exactly. But that's not me. I didn't make that would be me. I didn't make the choice to order the pizza, so it doesn't count. So I can have this slice. And then all of a sudden you're at your fucking cousin's christening and literally you've had 17 Rice Krispie squares.
Yeah.
And there's two voices at play. One's going, this is amazing, I'm getting away with it because this isn't me at home ordering the shit, even though I told my wife I wouldn't eat shit. And then there's the other voice going, you fucking fat cunt, you know exactly what you're doing. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And meanwhile, people are just standing around chatting and your head is fucking singing at you.
Gone.
Do you know
and
what I mean?
I think the term fat cunt is actually really apt, because the amount of shame and horribleness that to myself, and it is those two words specifically that ring true in my head. I think that's where that shame comes from. So I think what you have to do with food is be more honest about, you're going to have good days and bad days. There will be days where that pizza or cake or things are put in front of
you. It's all non-linear like.
Exactly. You're never going to have full abstinence from bad food.
And that's why I think, and we won't get into it now because it's too long, but I think this whole fucking illusion of willpower, like forget willpower, like genuinely get rid of that. It's about sitting in it. It's about accepting it rather than, oh, because willpower can't last forever. We all wake up and go, I'm going to smash the fuck out of work this week and I'm going to blah, blah, cool. And you do for a week or 2 weeks. But that, this too shall pass. Everything will pass. Nobody can survive on that, like, let's fucking go energy all the time. Yeah. That's why people do unbelievable for 14 days or 13 and then they collapse. Do you know what I mean?
Totally.
If you're relying on, in my opinion, on addiction and or abstinence in any capacity, if you are relying on willpower alone, it's over.
Totally.
It is over entirely. You can't fucking bro your way to health in that sense. Yeah. Let's fucking, and that's why I think, like, the community stuff we spoke about, there are definitely ways of, oh, how's the word, like, managing these fucking addictions in different ways.
And bringing people together to understand, because I think that's, you feel so alone when you're in a space of, like, emotional eating or indulging in those behaviours. We're all going through it.
Mm.
Not every single person, but, like, we all have our own struggles.
Everyone has their fucking vices, man. We all want to escape in some shape or form. Otherwise, these things wouldn't be as popular as they are.
Okay.
And with that, you fat cunt, it's not... Listen, well done. And thank you for talking about all of that.
Thank you.
We'll do another update in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely.